Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Butterfly Talk. This is the podcast and radio show about epidermolysis bullosa, offering education, support, and encouragement, tips, and general information regarding advocacy and need for awareness. My name is Sylvia. I'm your host. And my guest today is my friend, my special friend, Lorraine Montello. And she's here to talk to us about her son, Garrett. He has RDEB. He's 18 years old. And about her business venture, Montello Foods. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Sylvia. Good to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing very well.
Okay. Good. All right. Tell us about a little bit about yourself and how Garrett's doing.
Okay. I'm an old mom, and this was my fifth child when I had Garrett, so I was a seasoned mom when I had him, and I feel like that was a true blessing because it made things a lot easier. Garrett is doing well. He is, of course, well compared to a normal, average, everyday kid. He's got his issues with EB and so forth. He's going to school full-time and managing to make it through almost every single day. He has had a lot more doctor's appointments this year, and so it's really impacted his studies and so forth. So he's having to do a lot more work to try to keep caught up. But he's there. He's hanging in there. And like I said, Making it through every day is a big thing. So
that's amazing that he can go to school every day. That's my mind. So tell me, what do you wish someone would have told you when Garrett was born?
That is like one of the most difficult questions for me because I was fortunate to live so close to Stanford. And when he was born in Gilroy, he was transferred the same night to Stanford, kept there for 2 weeks. And every day that I went in, I had more and more information handed to me. Each day, I would get a little packet from the epidemiologist, Dr. Nur, and I would get to read something about EB. And so I'm not sure I would have wanted any more than what I got in that first 2 weeks because it was truly overwhelming to, you know, gradually, day by day, realize all the complications of the disease.
Yes.
Okay. I really don't know what I wish somebody had told me because I think if I had known much more, it might have been even more traumatic.
Yeah. Well, I think because you were so close to Stanford and you got all the information you needed. Yeah.
Probably more than
a little bit more than you wanted to. So what was the best advice you've ever been given for Garrett's care?
Without a doubt, the best advice was one of the first doctor's appointments we ever went to. One of the resident started trying to take off his bandages, wearing rubber gloves and so forth. And Dr. Joe that came in at that point and said, hey, wait, stop. He goes, the first thing is you already, and he was only a few weeks old. He goes, you already know more than they do. Don't let them do anything that's going to damage your child. Take charge of his care and be the expert because you moms know more than anybody does. And I think that they gave me the confidence to really advocate for him in every level, you know, both, you know, when in the medical world and then in the private world and the school world and so forth and so on. I think it really gave me that confidence to say, you know what, I do know more than, you know, anything other than other moms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you were the one that I used to call. Well, after we met, because we met was in January 98, I think, at Stanford, right?
Oh, wow.
And the boys were like one.
Both teeny tiny, yeah.
Yeah, Nikki and Garrett were... they're 2 months apart. So
That's
the first time I met. And I remember even my husband at the time used to call you for advice all the time. So we knew back then you were in the know.
Well, it was helpful because I was close to the team there, and it has definitely been an advantage and a blessing. And I consider myself, that's probably one of my biggest gifts I was given when I had him, is to be able to have that contact.
That's awesome. Now, being an EB parent myself, I know that above all, our children teach us unconditional love and patience. What other gifts do EB children bring to their families, in your view?
Well, I think it brings that same gift of unconditional love and patience to, like, my kids that were his siblings. I think that I have four of the most incredible other children because of Garrett. They learned tolerance, they learned patience, they learned an interest in medicine, an interest in social elements. One works in human resources because she's very passionate, compassionate to people. Another works in medicine because she loves the medical side of it. You know, I think that it stems beyond just the you know, individual, what's the EB. And above all, I think, as a fellow Italian, it taught me patience, which is something that I definitely need a lot of help in.
Okay, so on that note, what is the most frustrating thing about EB, going the opposite side?
Without a doubt, it's the fact that we moms have to inflict pain. We have to inflict pain in order to alleviate the pain and suffering. And so it's such a double-edged sword. And that is, without a doubt, the most horrible side of EB is to have to induce pain to your child. It's just not fair. And then the other things that are really difficult is, of course, the time. Everything takes time, time, time. I never have enough time, and I never have enough sleep. And then, of course, the other thing is just the frustration of watching your little children that cannot do the things that other kids can do. It's just heart-wrenching. Garrett's bedroom looks out over a football and baseball field. You know, and we're doing bandages upstairs while I'm looking out at the other kids that are, you know, joyfully playing sports. It's just, it's heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and he was really big into basketball, right?
Right, yeah. Still is, still loves it. Still wishes he could play it, but...
He
may study to be a statistician or something like that, but in the more real world, he'd rather study business.
So what do you absolutely love about Garrett? What makes him absolutely wonderful to you? What's the best thing about him?
I think his overall patience with everything and his positive attitude and the fact that he is smart, he knows he's smart, and he tries to, you know, do the schoolwork and attend the school and try to, he takes AP classes for crying out loud when he doesn't have to because he wants to be one of the smart kids, and he knows he is, and he does pretty darn good. So I think it's just his positive outlook. After he had all his teeth removed and I was so worried about his mental health, and I asked him, you know, how are you taking all this? How are you doing? He said to me, he goes, well, you know, if things didn't get any worse, I wouldn't mind living to be 100. And that, to me, made my day. I mean, it was just to him to say that, you know,
Is he in a lot of pain? Or?
Well, you know, he has pain meds that help him deal with it. He's always uncomfortable, I would say, to some level, sometimes in pretty good pain, with, depending on what's being done, you know. The bathroom issues, the bandaging issues, stuff like that is very extremely painful for him still. So,
Wow.
Always some pain.
So, in what ways is your life challenged by having a child with EB?
I think the biggest thing is just the time and the sleep. You know, I can't have a full-time job. I'm overwhelmingly blessed to be able to have my part-time job at Stanford, you know, and the accommodations they make to help me do that job. I mean, that's huge, huge. You know, but it's just finding the time in the day, you know. And then also, you know, the other thing too is right now, because he has no teeth and the compromised throat, and of course you probably deal with this too with Nikki's throat and issues as well, as just trying to find the right kind of food to feed him, trying to come up with something creative to feed him, because Garrett loves to eat, loves it. But having no teeth, it's, you know, it's tough. So we make a really good taco pate.
Okay, so what is Garrett's favorite food, going off on a tangent here?
Well, you know, he just discovered that he loves avocados. I mean, it's like the perfect food. It's healthy, it's slimy, it's delicious, it's fattening. So it's a great food. So he does eat that quite a bit. And he loves any kind of Mexican food, or really likes spicy food all of a sudden too, which is kind of ironic. So he likes a lot of flavor. That's the thing. Loves pasta, of course, and I just put everything in the blender and puree it, so it all looks like mush. But he likes it. He eats it as long as it's got a lot of flavor.
What about like something like gnocchi, you know, that's really soft?
I made some gnocchi a while back. It was my first attempt to make it from scratch. It wasn't as good as I would have liked it to have been, but I actually got a homemade pasta maker for my girls for my birthday. So I have been making homemade pasta, and he loves anything with potatoes and anything with pasta. So gnocchi is, of course, the perfect combination.
Well, gnocchi is, I made gnocchi only once because it is so time consuming. Funny, it takes forever.
Exactly.
And they're pretty cheap at the store, you know, so.
Exactly.
you know, want to save, you know,
that's
hours.
Right. I made it only once too. And it was like, okay, that wasn't worth the effort. But homemade pasta is so delicate. So
yeah.
Melting your
mouth. Okay, now here's an important question for the whole EB community, I think. I know it was a big issue for me, was how has been your experience in getting bandages covered by insurance?
You know, and that's a tough one for me to be very helpful with, because I've been extremely, extremely fortunate that I've always had pretty darn good insurance.
Okay.
And but I do remember back when he was very, very little, you know, he was first born, I could not get them to cover anything because everything was capable of being bought over the counter. So I actually went to one of the bandaging supply companies and said, you know, you're making such a profit margin off of these things. When I finally got the insurance to acknowledge that the massive amount of quantities, and of course the doctors had to get involved and write letters and so forth, necessity type things, I actually, and I would suggest this for any new mom, go to your insurance company, whoever it is, and ask for a case manager. Because once I got a case manager and could really explain the details of it, it did help. But I also went to the bandaging company, because at that time I had a huge out-of-pocket copay type situation. And I told them, I said, you're making ridiculous profits here. Why can't you write it off and then, you know, alleviate under a hardship type thing the huge high copays and so forth? And like, I know, I don't know if I should mention names of companies or anything, but I know that there's at least one company that will do that and has an EB program set up now where they have you sign kind of a cost waiver type thing and explain the situation. As long as it's EB, they will absorb that differential.
I'm getting that myself.
I am very fortunate.
Well, that's good that you got a social worker to listen, you know, because my social workers never cared.
It was actually a case manager through my insurance. It was a case manager nurse through the insurance. So, I was really fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I got several case managers with Cigna and nothing. And Aetna and nothing. So it's kind of like, it's hard to say this is how you do it, because it's just
there's so many variables.
Business. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My thing I always tell other patients and so forth is keep fighting the fight. Be the squeaky wheel. Be the pain in the butt, because if you just keep, you know, keep send them pictures. That's one of the big things I did too, come to think of it.
Yeah.
18 years ago, I sent very gruesome, very realistic, very true to what was going on type pictures. And I said, this is what's happening. And, you know, I did finally, you know, I was fortunate it didn't take me too long, but I did get somebody very sympathetic to it. So pictures are worth 1,000 words, especially with EB.
Wow. All right. So before we talk about Montella Foods, I want to ask you one more question. And this is about EB. And this is about commending you, number one, for you and Garrett both, for supporting EB awareness so much. You know, if people don't know, Garrett was part of a photographic documentary called The Boy Beneath the Bandages by photographer Andre Herman. And then on a National Geographic channel, there was a series of documentaries called Extraordinary Humans, and Garrett was part of the skin episode, where the first half of the show talked about this girl with ichthyosis. And then Garrett was basically the star of the second half of the show. And I still have it on my DVR after all this time. It's been, well, was it 2011 or 2010?
It's been a long time, yeah. It's
been a while. And that was the best documentary I've ever seen in describing EB. I mean, the best one, because it talks about the dilatation, it talks about the skin graft, talks about everything. And also, here is one of the EB patients featured on the EBRP videos and photos. So I wanted to know how you and Garrett feel, well, how Garrett feels about being the center of the attention for EB awareness.
Well, I think Garrett, at the age that he could start making his own choices, whether or not he wanted to be involved in this type of stuff, because I've been involved since he was so little. Once he got to be the age where he could make that decision himself, I sat him down and explained to him how important it was to be able to share his experience and help educate, especially the medical world, about what EB is, because it's just still rather unknown to so many doctors. And so he has always really embraced that and realized the importance of it, because he was one of the fortunate kids who was able to be seen right away by EB experts, and it really literally saved his life. So he does realize the importance of that. You know, and I was telling you earlier that he, you know, volunteers for the skin show and tell in the dermatology department where he goes and actually talks to medical up-and-coming medical students to educate them about EB and so forth. So he is very willing and open to do that and has always been a great ambassador for EB.
That's really nice. And he's not, because I know people ask me if Nikki was embarrassed about the photos and stuff, and he said no.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't want his private. Jared just doesn't want any private parts showing. As long as there's no private parts involved, he's pretty good with it.
Exactly. That's what Nikki is. I'm whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Montella Food. This is exciting. So how did you get the idea of starting Montella Foods?
Well, I think a lot of it initially started because about a year or so, well, actually almost a year and a half ago now, Garrett pretty much decided, okay, I'm coming up to the end of my high school education here. What am I going to do when I grow up? I don't want to be a burden to society. I don't want to be, you know, somebody who can't have some kind of something to do to contribute to the world. And so he really saying, what can we do for a business? We need a business. And so that kind of started us thinking. He and I have always enjoyed going to these little olive oil and vinegar tasting rooms and so forth and thought how much fun it was. And initially we thought, well, maybe we should do this, you know, see if we could get a shop, maybe do a fundraiser thing and so forth, which was difficult and not as successful as we would have liked it to have been. So then we thought about taking it in a different angle. And that's when we got the idea to do home shows. Because actually, we did a Kickstarter and I did a couple of home shows to try to explain to people what it was we were trying to fundraise for. And they were like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun, blah, 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 blah. And one of the gals said, why don't you do it this way for the business? And that was what kind of clicked. Maybe we should. So that's what we do. We, you know, have the online store, and then we do the in-home tasting parties, which have been an absolute blast for both us and the people doing it. We've had nothing but positive feedback. It's so much fun.
Oh, that's great. So how does Garrett help you with the business? What does he do?
He's a schmoozer. Yeah. Most of the time he's at the tail end because he loves running the credit card and doing the ringing people up and so forth. He's got a real interest in the accounting side of it and the business side of it. I mean, he truly does love math and so forth. And so he's got his little program, his little card reader and so forth. And of course, he's always got Chuck there helping to supervise everything too. So the two of them work as a team, packing, charging, and putting together whatever people want as they buy. And of course, he upsells when he can. Hey, do you need pork spot with that bottle of vinegar? And, you know, make sure that they know all the products that we do carry so that if there's something else they might could use, they could think about it. He's not a high-pressure salesman, but the first public outdoor thing we went to, everybody would ask him what his favorite flavor was. And, of course, we sold out of that within the first couple of hours. So we kind of said, we've got to kind of have a wider range of favorites. So we didn't sell out of one particular. And he does like a wide range of our products, of course. So he learned not to narrow it down to his real true one favorite.
Okay, so now I know you've been bandaging his hands since he was born, pretty much?
Yes. That was one of the first paperwork I got from the epidemiologist was the hands, and I thought, I'm not going to let this happen if I can help it.
Yeah, I know. I wish I would have, you know, known about it.
Yeah.
Back then with you. But anyway,
Now
how is he be able, what kind of, how much strength does he have in these hands, in the hands, to
strength,
pick up
strength
things?
Strength-wise, I mean, he's not super strong. That's why he doesn't, like, wrap the bottles or do that kind of thing where he can do the checking out because it's just holding his little iPhone and the card reader and swiping it and stuff like that. He's got very good dexterity. He's got very good control of his hands and movements of his hands. Strength-wise, not so much. So he's doing more of the, you know, input on the key, you know, on his phone if he needs to input anything, reminders and so forth, emails if people want receipts and so forth like that. But yeah, he doesn't actually do a lot of picking up per se.
Okay, so tell me about Montella Foods. What do you sell and what do you love about your products?
Well, we spent a whole year researching where we were going to get our product line because as we went around to different tasting rooms and stuff, we saw a commonality that a lot of them were carrying products by one particular provider, and we were able to really source out and find a product line that we felt was superior to anything we found, pretty much. We carry extra virgin olive oils. We carry flavored olive oils that have either infused or fused with natural herbs and natural fruits and flavorings and so forth. We also carry balsamic vinegars that are beautiful balsamics imported from Italy, aged to perfection. They're thick, they're rich, and most balsamics you find out there in the real normal world are pretty watery. These are just gorgeously thick, not with any kind of thickenings or additives like that. It's just from the aging process. They have a high great musk content that helps make them that way. Then we also carry a line that we just started not that long ago of flavored sea salts that are, you know, have different spices in them, such as cayenne or Hungarian paprika. We also have a black truffle that's I'm addicted to, sad to say. Then we carry a line of olive wood products, some accessories, and a cookbook. So we have a, you know, not a huge, huge profit, product line, but we have enough of a similar related things that it's really fun.
Your dad's side was Italian, right?
Right, he was the Montello, correct.
It was the Montello. Now, was your grandmother, did she show you, because you're a fantastic cook, so I'm wondering if it was from your mom they taught you, or was it maybe a grandma, or...
You know, it's kind of funny, because my mom really taught me to cook, but I think that my grandmother on my dad's side taught her the Italian dishes. I'm not sure where, when, or how they kind of did that, but they worked together. Maybe she just talked to her a lot. I wish my mom had lived long enough that I could really pick her brain about how she learned to cook so many great Italian foods. I think that my dad, though, is actually a very, very good cook as well. So he may have even been instrumental in teaching her a lot of the Italian cooking. But my mom's French, so, you know, she probably has a natural flair for cooking. My dad, Italian, so French and Italian, you got to love food.
Well, you know, my great aunt, my grandma's sister, went to France for a few months to stay with a cousin, whatever. And then when she came back, she cooked the most amazing food, you know. I know the French are not known for their cuisine, but I'll never forget those mashed potatoes. And I was like 10. I was like 10 or something. I was young, you know. So now, is your mom from France or her parents or her grandparents?
Actually, they're Canadian French, ironically. So they're not even, I don't know where it goes back to where, you know, France-type French comes from. But, they're Canadian. They were originally Canadian French from what I understand. And, her parents, their last name was Desmarais, which means of the sea.
Right. Okay, because I know a little French. It's been too long, though.
Yeah.
Now, who was it in your Italian side that came over from the boot?
Oh,
my
gosh.
Was it your grandparents or
great? There's so much confusion on that. I really need to do the family tree again because I don't know how many generations back. I know that my dad's dad, they always spoke English because, you know, when they came to America, they all wanted to be American. They would stop.
Right.
Speaking Italian, but I have, I recently met up via phone. In fact, because of this business, my dad sent his cousin some of the olive oils, and he called and talked to me, and it was just so East Coast Italian, you know. It was just a joy speaking with another wild and crazy Italian from the East Coast. He was so much fun. So, it's just been a really interesting venture getting back into this. And the first time I sent a bottle of anything, I sent it to my dad. And so he gets this bottle with Montello Fine Foods on it. He's going, wow, do you customize it to everybody's last name? And I'm going, oh, Dad, it's the name of the company. Crack me up.
Oh, that must have been a pretty proud moment for him because that's his last name, right?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, he loved it. He thinks it's the coolest thing. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell everybody about how to find your web store, Facebook page, and how to contact you.
Okay, the name of the company is really Montello Fine Foods. And so you can see our beautiful web page at montellofinefoods.com, and it's M-E-N-T-E-L-L-O, and then finefoods.com. And then also you can email us at info@montellofinefoods.com. So it's really easy.
Okay.
And it is
so
a beautiful website.
On the description below, I put your website address, and also
okay,
you also have a Facebook page, right?
Right, we do under Montello Fine Foods.
Okay. Yeah. And on the slideshow that people will see as we are talking, there's all kinds of pictures of Garrett and Lorraine and their business. So we have 5 minutes left. What do you want to talk about?
How is your little guy doing?
Nikki's all right. He spends all his day playing video games. And, you know, you were talking earlier about Garrett's siblings being more, you know, caring and compassionate. And I can see that in Nikki's brother, too. He's 11, and he's just always, you know, they have this little rapport going on that's pretty funny. But he's doing all right. He's hanging in there. He's hanging in there. He's in a lot of pain lately, a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do?
It's so hard right now.
Just don't run out of pain meds, right?
Distraction and pain meds, yeah, the two best things on earth.
Distractions. Now, do you think, because Nikki was telling me that distraction helps him with the pain. It's like his brain doesn't have room for both. It's neither.
Right. I think it absolutely takes, yeah, because
what does Garrett do? Yeah, to distract himself.
Well, I mean, if he's really, really involved in something, you know, well, even, I think even sometimes, oh my gosh, sad to say, but when they're struggling, you know, he has a one-on-one aide at school. She's wonderful. I call her his second and better mom. But sometimes when they're working really, really hard on stuff or arguing over who's right about the math problem, usually it's Garrett, he sometimes will be so involved trying to get stuff done that he'll forget to take his pain meds. The sad thing is, though, then he pays the price because his pain meds then have to play catch up. So as you know, it's better to keep on the regular cycle just because it keeps them on a stable amount. So, yeah, the distraction, I mean, you know, fun distractions, too, of course. If he's over, you know, when his brothers and sisters were all still nearby, he would go over and, you know, hang out with his brother and do stuff and forget to take his payments on occasion. And all of a sudden it would hit him like, oh, my gosh, I'm just hurting so bad. And I forgot to take my payment. You know, it would eventually catch up with him. I mean, it's a distraction to a point.
Right. So. Now, what does he do to keep when he's home? Does he watch TV? Does he play video games? What does he do for fun?
Well, you're going to laugh because, yes, he does play video games. But I wouldn't say he's a total video game junkie or anything. He doesn't play them that much. I mean, he certainly balances it out. But he loves to watch TV. And one of his favorite things to watch, other than basketball, are food shows.
That's like Nikki.
That's
like Nikki. Now, I want to remind everybody and tell you there is this show coming up on the 26th of April called Spring Baking Championship, and it's on the Food Network. And Damiano Carrara, he's one of our friends, actually owns a pastry shop in Simi Valley. I forgot the name of the city. But anyway, he's the one that did the Nikki's Pastry Chef for a Day, and I'm so amazed.
Cool.
The moment I met this guy, I mean, he's Italian. He's there speaking to me in Italian. He can't believe I'm Italian. We're talking. He is one of the most, you know, type A personality kind of people that I've ever met.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't surprise me one tiny little bit that all of a sudden he's on TV. I'm like, this guy is made for TV. I can't wait to watch him. So make sure you watch it with Garrett.
So cool. Well, we're going to have a road trip or something, go to his shop when this is all said and done.
Yes.
He's
got Italian, authentic Italian pastries. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
I like a Manelli when I go in there. Him and his brother.
Oh, we've got to go there.
Yeah. So next time you're down this direction. We'll go.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for being my guest today.
It was fun. I was nervous, but it was fun.
It was fun. And everybody go to MontelloFineFoods.com. I got the link down on the description. And please say hi to Garrett from Nikki. And we will see you next week then, right?
Awesome.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sylvia.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Up to next month.